Welcome to another edition of Be the Change Georgia, where we amplify the voices of the inspiring business leaders surrounding the B Corp and social impact movements across the Southeast to help you learn how to build your legacy at the intersection of people, planet, purpose, and profit. Today, there are more than 8,000 B Corps in over 80 countries and 180 different industries unified by one common goal: transforming the global economy to benefit all people, communities, and the planet. If you want to learn how to plug into our purpose-driven business community alongside the inspiring leaders we feature on this show, check us out at belocalgeorgia.com or on Instagram or Facebook at belocalgeorgia, and we'll hope to meet you at our next event. How can entrepreneurs effectively harness the power of community engagement while also being a connector to drive meaningful change in both business practices and social impact initiatives? In today's episode, we continue our tour around the Southeast and travel down to New Orleans, where we sit down with Lizzie Freuden, founder of the strategic marketing company One More Thing. With an interest in behavioral economics and consumer behavior, Lizzie built her business around working with clients to drive specific behavioral outcomes from the customers they look to serve. In this conversation, Lizzie also delves into the importance of building relationships within your community and the transformative impact of curiosity and continuous learning. Lizzie shares her journey of relocating to New Orleans for grad school and the influence it has had on her work, the importance of intentionality in supporting your community, as well as her pioneering efforts in becoming the first certified B Corp in the state of Louisiana. Stay tuned as we uncover the significance of being a dot connector and explore the role of business as a force for good with Lizzie. Lizzie, welcome to Be the Change Georgia. Excited to finally have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be on. Thank you for having me.
This is like one of the, I'm trying to think, the third or fourth one where we've gone outside of the state of Georgia. But as we continue to like grow this community and grow the B Corp community, I think it's fun to introduce, not that all of our listeners are in Georgia, but it's fun to introduce people, our listeners, to change makers throughout the region. I think it we all gain something. We gain knowledge. We gain insight. I don't think that we're inventing some sort of unique wheel in each of our own neighborhoods. We're just inventing, we're just putting our own distinct regional, cultural, neighborhood, po' boy flavoring on said wheel. So I'm excited to have you on and pick your brain because you're somebody who always amazes me when I'm in New Orleans and one of the first things I wanted to pick your brain on was like, when I do go there, it's crazy. Like, and I have these conversations post New Orleans events and everybody's like, oh, I love Lizzie. Like everybody seems to know Lizzie. And then when I told you that in our little like pre-call plan, you were very surprised. You're like, huh? I mean, I think that's just a shared imposter syndrome. We all have a little bit of like, people like me. Oh, that's great. But people speak so highly of you. And it's very, it's very cool. And it was one of those things that, I mean, maybe you didn't know that that was a thing, but I don't know, kind of wanted to pick your brain on and some of the intentionality and how you've become so well networked within the city. And why do you think it is that everybody likes you?
I don't know why everybody likes me. I am tickled to hear it even on the second time. Yes, I was a little bit surprised when you mentioned it in our pre-call. Not because I think everyone dislikes me so much as it's interesting to see how that kind of intentionality gets noticed, and how it gets talked about out, like when you're not in the room. But I would say that probably the reason that so many people do seem to know me is that I try really hard to know people who are making an impact in the community in New Orleans, or in the region. And I show up to events and I ask a lot of questions, and I'm genuinely interested in a lot of what people are doing and why they choose to do it the way they do. So I guess I show up a lot and I ask a lot of questions, and I am really enthusiastic about anybody who's sincerely trying to support this community, and to make a difference. So that is probably why. And I moved down here in 2011 to go to graduate school. And I got my MBA and my master's in global management at Tulane. And while I was in business school there, you sort of pay attention to things that are happening in the business community. And so I kind of started poking around there and then expanded the longer I lived here.
It's so cool to hear that story, because there's like so many, I don't want to say parallels, but like, I mean, I've been doing the same thing down here where you have these people that you see that seem to have this like magnetic following, and that are growing really cool things. It's not necessarily that I want to like come be a part of that I put no work into yet. I just want to learn. I'm just here to watch what you're doing, how you do it, and how you're impacting people to the point where like, it's basically like, I look at some of these people, like in our community, we have like the Joey Womacks and the Jay Baileys, and it's people that I want. It's like, who do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be that person that has this whole room's like captivated attention because he's, or they are adding so much value to the audience that these people will run through walls for him. And so I think there's that same curiosity that you've discovered.
Yeah. I also think that when you're dealing with people who are subject matter experts, like really deep knowledge in one particular area, whether it's like climate change solutions in New Orleans, and we have a lot of water related needs. So if maybe you're an expert in that, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily an expert in grant applications or funding or whatever else it is. So if I have the ability to come in and say like, hey, cool, I can connect you to this thing. I hear what your need is. But because I am not a subject matter expert in that, and I am more of a subject matter expert in entrepreneurship, it's nice to be able to help connect dots for people, and to be intentional about that and to bring people together who are maybe siloed in their areas of their like domains of expertise or their areas of the city, even like you were mentioning Po' Boys. Being a region, like a neighborhood thing, yes, there are like people who do a lot of advocacy work within their neighborhoods. It's just like coalition build across neighborhoods is another thing too. So that's something that I try to be really intentional about.
Yeah, but I mean that dot connecting too. Yeah, because like the neighborhood from place to place. I remember having LaVonya Jones on the podcast, and she was talking about, you know, you can go 5 minutes away in Atlanta and it's a different community with different needs, with different struggles, with different opportunities. And New Orleans has always struck me as being, I don't want to say very similar to Atlanta, but as far as that type of, there is that very community driven, yes, community pride, and then figuring out that dot connecting that you mentioned of how do I connect, you know. And again, it's like, I'm not here really other than I know somebody that you need to meet. There's nothing in it for me other than to say you need to meet you. You've done it with me in New Orleans of like, Nathan's on the board of Be Academics, whatever the hat that I'm wearing that day is, where you're like, it makes sense for you to connect with this person. I think that's a superpower.
Thank you. I think it is overall an area of weakness in entrepreneurship circles. Overall, the people who have access to things continue to get access to things, and you know the same people and their names show up over and over again. So I like to see new names connect with other new names and bring more people into the conversation as much as possible. In a city like New Orleans that has major poverty issues and a long history of segregation and racial injustice, which continues obviously to this day, I think it's really important that we try to be intentional about making sure information isn't siloed. Information and access to resources isn't siloed. That is a challenge because sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's just sort of a legacy of a time where it really, really was intentional. And so it requires a lot of intentionality and mindfulness and care to be aware of who may or may not have access to like the email list or be on the email list or whatever it is. I don't have all of the answers. I often need to be asked to be added to lists myself, but I do try to, when I have something, make sure that other people know it exists.
Yeah, no, you're right though. It's the legacy of what was intentional, what is now almost a natural, you know, I've said that before on boards of, you know, oh, ask your neighbors to join this board. Well, if you ask your neighbors to join this board, like the legacy of the intentional segregation of years past is now the fact that we primarily live in neighborhoods with people that look like us. Yes. So if we ask our neighbors to join the board's never going to change. The board's never, exactly. there's a certain level of intentionality required in doing this work that I think takes everybody. So yeah, I think that's awesome of like, yeah, where are these resources and using some of that. I mean, I hate to use the term privilege, but that access to that information that you might have that others might not.
Yeah. I mean, how do I share? There is plenty of privilege in play. Like racially, sure, but like academic privilege that I came here as like a person getting an advanced degree and was introduced to certain circles through my education. I mean, there are always like all kinds of ways to look at privilege. I do think that higher education is a place where so many interesting resources and ideas come through. And so making sure that as much of it is shared as possible, if you're out in the world after having the benefit of the time to do advanced learning, like bringing it into the world is a good use of privilege, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And sharing that knowledge. I have a question. And it's funny. We didn't talk about this in the pre-call plan, but like, you got there for grad school. Like, what was it about New Orleans that made you stay? Like, what, like, was it just, is it just, I mean, you, sometimes you go visit those places or you go study somewhere. Like, I did my grad degree in Athens, so it was like, I already lived here. But what was it about New Orleans? Did it just like call to you when you got there? You're like, I'm never leaving this place. Like, this is home.
Yeah. It called to me before I got here. I applied to different schools, but I really wanted to go to New Orleans. It just, there was something about it that I resonated with. And I mean, there are a lot of reasons why I stuck around. I like the community-based efforts. I feel like that's a really palpable, tangible thing here. And it's fun and interesting to me to see the way that movements can be sort of ground up. I stuck around because I love Mardi Gras and music and like food festivals. I love sort of the free spirit of it. There's a come as you are vibe that I like, which isn't to say that it's a place without flaws, or an easy place to do business, which it is not necessarily an easy place to do business, I would say. But there are a lot of things about the quality of life and the energy here that do appeal to me.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like it's become, I mean, I had been before I started doing this whole B Corp thing and then touring and speaking everywhere, but it's quickly become one of my, I can see how you can move there and just never leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's got a vibe. It's got a culture, but, and I think it's also really interesting, you know, of like, you know, before we like completely pivot to like the B Corp side of things, but like, totally related as well, but that opportunity to be a part of something. And those cities that are very welcoming to, you know, to good people, that I think New Orleans, when I get there, I feel like it is a welcoming city to somebody with good intentions to uplift. And, you know, you're not there to be the savior. You're just there to play your part and be a good citizen and a good resident and leave the city better than you found it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, leaving the city better than you found it is quite a job and requires a whole team effort. And what that looks like every day is a little bit different. But I would say that if you come in like a spirit of curiosity, as opposed to I have a plan, that's something that is a way in if you want to make a difference, instead of saying like, here's my plan for saving or for helping or for doing, to say like, what is it that you're struggling with? Or what is it that you need help with? Or where are the missing resources and trying to fill in the gaps? People don't have the luxury of turning that away in a city that is, you know, in a hurricane zone that gets destroyed fairly, you know, with some regularity, like major, major damage to the city, and the infrastructure happens every time there's a major storm. And so we really do have to be thoughtful about not turning any open hands away.
Yes, but also coming back to that part you talked about earlier, that curiosity of like,
yeah,
what is it, how, you know, and how does it affect each neighborhood, each parish? Like, how does that, you know, a major storm of what's flooding and what isn't, and you know, I mean, I don't say it's an impending disaster, but it's something that y'all don't have the luxury that somebody in like the middle of Georgia has to solve. Like, the climate change thing's hitting y'all
today.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's real. It's a today thing. It's a yesterday thing. It's a thing.
Yeah. And so, like, I mean, there are pressing problems. And again, you spoke to some of the income inequality, the wealth gap, very similar to what we see in, well, across the South.
Yes.
But as you started your business, one more thing, like, you chose to certify as a B Corp when there were, I think, were you the first B Corp in Louisiana?
I was.
How about that? Look at you.
As far as I know, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you were. And now we have 5, which is crazy. So why in a state with no B Corps go through the effort and be like, I want to lead my business this way? And then as you met Beth, who I think was number 2. And then, you know, we started to, and then you had Tippy certified. And now We just found out there were 2 more that have certified. So as you start to grow this community, like, you also took a leadership in building the B Corp community. So why B Corp is a way to build your business? And then why sign up for another? You're like me, you wear like 13 hats. Why sign up for another hat, which is, you know, kind of like whatever you want to call it, co-founder, co-driver, co-builder of this B Corp community in New Orleans?
So, okay. So there's a very specific story about why I became a B Corp. I had a client that was a B Corp, and that was my first introduction to B Corps. And I thought it was really cool and interesting. And I was working with them not too long after the 2016 election, when I was really thinking about my values and how to not to wait until I was asked to have an opinion on something, but to like proactively declare that I had an opinion on the fact that the world needed more thoughtful leadership and that business really needed to take a role and like not wait. So I decided to certify, and it took a long time. It took me 2 years to get my first certification. And I compare it, like, I have a MBA. So I know when I say that it was like sort of getting a whole other education in business, like alternative forms of business and governance and, you know, thinking about supply chains in different ways. So, you know, I slowly made my way through the impact assessment and thought through how I was going to run a business and what that meant. And then I got certified, and the community was so welcoming and interested in hearing what I had to say, which was so nice. I think it's a great way to do business. I've loved working with people in this community. There's a level of understanding that I feel is sort of like implied when you do business with other B Corps, which is like, there aren't necessarily going to be shortcuts or easy way outs. And we're going to have to figure out the right path. And that works really well with the way I run my business anyways, just in terms of like a very bespoke client services approach. So it fit. It was a good fit. And as to why I feel like I want to support the like Louisiana B Corp movement as much as I can, actually, Nathan, if I'm totally honest, it's largely seeing what you've done in relation to Georgia, but also with the Southeastern sort of community. Is really was very inspiring to go to the Build Southeast this year and to see how many people are really doing their best to use business as a source for good in communities where that isn't like necessarily the norm or assumed. So it was really inspiring, and it sort of fell into my lap that there needed to be some you know, collaboration around here and educating folks about not just B Corp, like, in, like, not just the option to get certified, but like what you can learn from thinking about business as a source for good, whether or not you choose to get certified. So I've been sort of doing a lot of reflecting on that, and that is why I have taken on additional responsibilities and added yet another hat to my list, I guess.
It's fun though. It's hard once you have that in your bones, in your DNA, to like, I mean, that's where B Local Georgia started, was that same, there were like 8 B Corps here, and it just saw this void. And I didn't see anybody, you know, nobody knew each other. We weren't doing anything together. And I'm like, how is this thing? And it wasn't necessarily so much the B Corp thing as what it stood for. And like you mentioned, like whether you certify or not, the power in that assessment that took you 2 years to navigate through, and thinking intentionally about who you want your company to be as you, like when you grow up.
Yeah.
Like that type of the power in that to me was what I saw is like, we have to get this. If we're going to rewrite the narrative or whatever, the stereotypes of the South and how we do business and how we operate and what we value, this is a really cool tool.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you just kind of take the hat and then the next thing you know, the hat's grown.
Yeah. The B Corp community is so intentional overall. And you know, everybody is so passionate. It's like a community of people who really try hard every day, which is something I love. That means there's a lot of collected knowledge. And so in the interest of like taking down barriers to accessing knowledge, making sure that people who are interested in like operational choices that they can make as a business that maybe are like cooperative structures or how you service employees or how you, you know, think about your environmental impact and all these other, you know, pieces of what makes an organization function. We have a lot of thoughts around that as a B Corp community and best practices and ideas and experiments and takeaways and learnings and stuff. So, I mean, we should share them if people want to like also try hard, whether or not they're certified. So that's sort of one of the goals that I'm trying to figure out the best way to implement or to make happen. And it's not easy.
No. I mean, and I think too, what I've seen you doing in New Orleans that is cool. And again, it's just like, I mean, I don't even want to say I didn't invent the playbook because Jared was mentoring me on what he was doing down in Florida. He's been on the podcast. It's just this ability to like, how do we build this community, B Corp or not, of purpose-driven businesses? And also, if this is what we're going to value, like it's almost like some new form of gospel or something that I'm preaching of like, I want these companies to be successful. To grow the community, we need these companies to be successful too. So also, how do you bring these companies, put your arms around them, and then get back to the original Lizzie of like, what do you need? Where can we help? What resources do you want? What connections? How can I dot connect for you?
Yes.
How can we help your business be successful? Not just kind of like great that you're doing it with purpose. And, you know, like how do I actually empower your business to continue to scale and grow both your profit and your impact?
Yes, exactly. That's the challenge is figuring out a way to be of service so that there's value to people participating in whatever events or knowledge sharing we're doing, because you know, at the end of the day, we only have so many hours we can spend on, you know, daydreaming how we can make our businesses better, and we can't do it at the expense of like actually paying our bills or spending time with our families or whatever else it is. So we need to actually create value for folks before we can ask them to give us more of their time or their resources. And that is the core challenge as I see it right now, is figuring out what is the best way to add value and deliver it and bring all these people together and take something off their plate that they're struggling with so that they can then have more freedom to share what they've learned and collaborate and be part of that community.
What advice would you have then for like an early stage, because I mean, you hit the nail on the head there too. And like, you saw, well, our listeners couldn't see me nod and smile like, yes, but that whole, like, you know, and I think it gets lost a lot of times in this conversation where people hear purpose driven, blah, blah, blah. They either think we're nonprofits. But then even within our community, I think some of us are afraid to talk about, like, and I've been a lot more open this year of like, I need to make some more money. Like, I need to.
I also need to pay myself
a better salary, and I want to grow my business and add another awesome job, and be able to donate more. And what advice would you have for an early stage entrepreneur or a couple of years into it, looking at B Corp certification, balancing that hey, I really want to do the certification? Because I tell people all the time, like, I'll give you an honest assessment of whether I think you should. This is going to benefit your business right now and it's worth going after right now, or you should be focused on building out your proof of concept. Like, those types of, like, I mean, I'm wearing, like, people can't see I'm wearing a Techstar shirt, but that's one of the things when I go in and talk to Techstars companies, it's those types of conversations. So what advice would you have for a company trying to figure out how to balance that purpose, profit, and also like impact in their communities, how to kind of, you know, I don't know if there's like a 40-30-30 percentage ratio that you would advise, but what is your advice?
No, I don't have anything that concrete. I would say that this is a really tough question, and it is very probably extremely personal to the entrepreneur or to the company to think through it. And I guess one of the things that I would say is, you know, B Corp certification might be worth pursuing if you feel like in the process of certifying, the things that you'll learn you're ready to implement them. You may be able to make changes to the way that you structure your salaries, or the way that you shop for vendors, or how you like structure your give back model, or whatever it is. If you feel like you're in a place where you are nimble enough or resourced enough to be able to implement some of those things, then certification might be worth pursuing. Or even if you don't want to be certified, you can sort of go through the checklist of things that B Corp sort of looks at to see if what you can do. So that would be one thing that I might encourage folks to do. Another thing that I feel is really important is remembering that you are involved in your community, whether you are conscious of it or not. And so whether you notice or you're paying attention or you have a strategy around it, you are in your community and participating in it. So like, you can choose to do it in an intentional and active way, or you can choose to let how your community sees you be the way that you are seen without any thought behind it. So I would say, like, maybe spend a little bit of time thinking about what you want that relationship to be like and ways you can be more of a contributor than you may have thought was within your reach, because no contribution is still a stance. That is one thing I would remind people of.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think there's that fine balance too. It's like, just, you know, you want to contribute, but also you know, like, don't. I think I wrote this on slides for my Techstars. It literally on a couple of them just says, "Don't go out of business."
Like, yeah, that's true. That's true. That is, like, definitely, you know, don't let, what is it? Don't let perfect be the enemy of good. But at the same time, like, we all know when someone says no comment, that's not actually no comment. Thinking about it from that perspective too.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, as somebody who regularly, like, well, I'm going to go for a walk, well, I'll take my trash grabber, like, those little community impacts you can make. And as you're building your business, those can grow. But also, yeah, making sure that you're doing the things and thinking, I mean, and what you said too, and I don't know if you were going there with it, but it's like, again, we're coming back to that theme of, like, intentionality of, like, even early on, like, whether you're certifying, whether you're just using this as a tool, like, thinking very intentionally about what your impact will be, how you're going to do it, and even the perception. And I think it's okay. I mean, you and I are both, like, kind of marketing storytelling nerds. Like, it's okay to think about how this will impact the story of our business and the narrative and how we're perceived in our community. And yeah, I think that requires to really stick the landing on that does require a lot of intentional thinking about the moment.
Yes, I would 100% agree that there's nothing wrong about thinking about this in a, does this give me more to talk about that I feel will help my business? If you're doing the work, like, great, talk about the work. Get, like, you know, get your flowers. And also, it does take intentionality, and it isn't something people are taught. And it isn't something that necessarily comes up in conversations about, like, best practices for business, like the way you're like, I need a good accountant, or like, I need a good lawyer, or I need a whatever. This isn't necessarily your average conversation. So it needs people who are really enthusiastic about it to remind other people, like, hey, did you know it's better if you make your website more accessible for people with, you know, different abilities? That will not only make you able to reach a larger consumer base and sell to more people, and also it's like fairer and more ethical, but also like it'll help with their search engine ranking. So, you know, there are people who need to be loud if we happen to know this information, because it isn't necessarily, you know, widespread
or taught. Yeah. Like I said, we'll change the world when we change how we teach in business schools. So, well, Lizzie, I want to keep going, but I know we're basically out of time. There's always jokes that these are like, basically the world gets to be a fly on the wall for conversations that I have with my friends. And then, yeah. At some point, well, where our conversation's going to continue, we just won't be recording it. Anything else to wrap up on, or anything else you want to plug or share, or parting words of wisdom?
I guess I'll plug myself. I am Lizzie. My business is called One More Thing. It's a strategic marketing company. I have an interest in behavioral economics, consumer behavior. And so I build a business around working with clients to drive specific behavioral outcomes from customers that they want, whether that's through copywriting in compelling messages on their website or in their newsletter copy or whatever it is, or market research studies. I help my clients really nail the language to drive the behavior they want. And, you know, we operate on a scientific method as much as you can get scientific method in marketing, which is like, my hypothesis is that your consumers will respond well to this based on the following data that we have. And then we test that hypothesis and refine and, you know, improve from there. So.
And most importantly, do it ethically, like a B Corp would.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm sure there's some people that could sell you the same service that you might not want to do business with.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously smarter and more talented and more fun to work with, but I also do it ethically. Yes, of course.
Awesome. That's where we're going to land the plane. That was fantastic. it's true. And finding those right partners that can help you do that, and finding these partners. I mean, that's my favorite part of this podcast, is giving people a voice, and exposing people to that there are businesses out there doing this, and there are really passionate people out there doing good in the world and running their businesses ethically and with what I like to say, with humanity, and also in their spare time, like being on a million nonprofit boards and building the B Corp community in Louisiana. So I'm glad that you told me I inspired you a little bit. I'm glad I inspired you to be even crazier.
You sure did.
Join team crazy. So Lizzie, thanks again for coming on, and we'll get links to everything in the show notes. Thanks again, Lizzie.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of Be the Change Georgia. We're grateful, as always, for the opportunity to serve you with this content and grow this incredible community of purpose-driven B Corp leaders. If you haven't already, we would be grateful for you to rate the show wherever you get your podcast by simply tapping the number of stars you think it deserves and sharing it with a friend. This helps us get the word out and continue to use our collective influence as a force for good. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our production team at Chat with Leaders Media. Learn how you can launch your own podcast to grow your business at chatwithleaders.com. Thanks again for listening, and now go be a leader worth following.